Welcome to the Social Standard Podcast. I'm Jessica Phillips, and I'm the founder and CEO of The Social Standard, a full-service influencer marketing agency. As a leader, I'm always striving to set new standards in our industry. My goal with this podcast is to highlight those who are doing the same. On each episode, our guests will take us through their own journey, what motivated and inspired them to try something new, and how they ultimately set the standard in their field. On top of that, they will provide actionable insights and ideas on how you can set the standard in your own way. So grab a cup of coffee and let's get to it. All right, guys. Well, welcome back to the Social Standards Podcast. Today, we've got a really exciting guest. Jordan Haddad is the CEO of Acre Mezcal, and I'm very excited about this brand. Personally, I'm getting into Mezcal myself, so this is an exciting conversation. And then Jordan and I actually share some parallel paths in the career field. So before we dive into all things Acre Mezcal, Jordan, first question for you is, where are you at today?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on. So I'm based in Los Angeles currently, and I think you're probably asking, how did I get to this point where I am today?
Yep, so it's
kind of interesting. So I started with really a traditional finance background. I went to the University of Michigan, Ross School of Business undergrad, and then I spent 2 years at an investment bank called Lazard working M&A in a handful of consumer aerospace and defense, all kinds of deals that we probably don't really need to get into on this podcast. And then from there, I spent 2 years at a hedge fund called Oaktree Capital on their high yield bond team. Which again, probably is about the opposite job from what I've gotten into today. And I was at this point in my career, it was rigorous. It was rewarding, but I was finding myself somewhat unsatisfied and looking for really one, a more entrepreneurial jump, and two, a more just, a more stimulating and rewarding and personal jump with what I wanted to do next. And that's kind of what brought me to Acre and the project. I was down in Cabo with my family having dinner at this most beautiful resort, and the owner Stuart came and sat down next to us, and we just started chatting and became friends. And they had an early version of the Mezcal product that we have today, and he gave me a bottle for my birthday. And this was right at that time that I was looking around and trying to figure out my next move. And eventually I came to him. I started getting really passionate about Mezcal, and I said, hey, like, let me take this thing and let's run with it.
Wow. That's a pretty incredible story. I mean, do you still have the bottle that
Oh, yeah.
Gave you? Oh, that's we should absolutely do a comparison then of like where it was to where it is now. How interesting.
Yes.
That's funny. And you just happened to find the resort and to go down with your family, and it was,
It was a complete coincidence. I mean, it was just there dining, and Stuart's really the friendliest guy in the world. So it makes perfect sense that he came and sat down next to us. And it's really just one of those one thing leads to another, and you never know what's going
to
happen.
Meant to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So were you just getting into Mezcal, or was that the first time you'd actually had Mezcal?
I had maybe had a little bit before. I was probably drinking mostly tequila at that point, as many in Los Angeles do. But it was my first foray into it. And even just having, so many things about the bottle, there was so much to learn from it about where it came from and the way that it's made. And that's kind of what got me sucked in on the Mezcal journey and starting to learn more about it. On top of just starting to learn more about the industry and the amazing growth that it's gone through.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a true art form, right? It's a craft, it's a passion. So yeah. That's incredible. So did you get back on a plane, go back to Oaktree and say, hey guys, I'm out? How did that come to fruition?
So the way it worked, it was a 2-year program. So I knew I was moving on anyways from what I was doing. But I was kind of dead set on not doing something that was quite so traditional and choose a different route than what most of my peers were doing. Yeah. I definitely didn't think it would be this much of a break from the finance world, but here we are.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's kind of at that point, it's like, well, you go back, get your MBA, you go on, what do you do? So exactly. Yeah, I hear you. I was kind of at the same fork myself, and ended up going to the startup world. So I support the decision. I think it was the right move. And it's certainly more exciting in my view.
Absolutely. That's very cool. It's a whole different kind of stressful and challenging.
It is. That's definitely true. Yeah. It's, you feel a little more in control, but also the control actually creates a stress.
Yes.
So. Well, that's awesome. So, you know, thinking about, I guess, before we jump into even more of this, tell us a little bit about Acre. I mean, we have Acre Baja and then you have Acre Mezcal, but give our listeners kind of the full view of what the experience is.
Yeah. So the brief background on our project is the Acre Resort was founded in Cabo, Mexico, around 5 years ago. It's a 25-acre, gorgeous farm-to-table restaurant, treehouse, villas, and it's really sprung up and become, in my somewhat biased opinion, the best place to go in Cabo. And it's truly just an incredible experience. And our project started as one of the bartenders at the restaurant basically started going around to different regions of Mexico and sourcing small batch mezcal from these places and bringing it in. And it was essentially bootlegged.
Yeah, that's the best way to start it. Right?
and being given to the guest as an amenity. So we view the brand as somewhat an extension of the ethos of the resort and where they come from. It's just such a, it's such a natural place that it speaks very, it's a natural partnership to the mezcal that we have and the people that we have producing it.
That's so cool. I love too, that from what I've read, the story involves everyone at Acre Baja, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about the bartender going out and bringing it. And I think even, I thought I read that it was so popular among the guests.
Yeah.
That's sort of what led you guys to go out and say, we need to make this a real thing.
Exactly. I think the guests were just enjoying it so much and they were responding so well to the packaging that we really saw the opportunity to go and use the platform of Acre. In a lot of ways, we view the resort as our celebrity in this equation.
Absolutely.
And that we get a couple hundred heads a night who come in, who interact with our brand in a very personal way. Maybe they do the free mezcal tasting upstairs. In any case, it creates a real connection with everyone that comes into contact.
That's amazing. I mean, I think that's true storytelling and brand building at its core, right? I think you see now, especially with everything being digital, brands sort of skip that, like the ethos of why the brand exists. And it sort of just turns into, hey, we've got a product. Let's put a lot of Instagram ads behind it and see how much we can sell. So I think this is a nice breath of fresh air and to true brand building and storytelling, right? I mean, every time I look at that website, I'm like, first of all, why are we not doing this podcast?
we should be doing it in person in Mexico, I think.
Exactly.
Next time.
That's exactly what we should be doing. And I've already planned my trip there like 500 times over. That property is absolutely beautiful. I mean, you can tell it's Stuart and
Cameron.
And they, I mean, I don't know how involved, if this is just a true labor of love those guys were, but the property is gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. They're extremely hands-on day to day. I mean, most of the plants are brought in, and half of them I feel like are actually planted by my business partners.
That's incredible though. Yeah. That's what you want, right?
Yes.
I mean, I think that really, that's most likely why I'm guessing sustainability is such a big marker for your brand. And do you want to just talk a little bit about the sustainability aspects? Because I think that's so powerful.
Yeah. So sustainability is it's a hugely important to us. And it's also a very important issue in Mezcal in general. And it's just something to be aware of in the industry and the brands that you interact with, is that the way that the agave plant works is, at a minimum, it's growing for 7 years before it's harvested and turned into mezcal, and it can only be harvested once. It's not a perennial plant such as grapes, which are used for wine, obviously. So when you see the explosive growth that you've seen in the mezcal industry, it creates a natural supply demand imbalance in that people didn't necessarily see this coming 10, 20 years ago. And in a lot of ways, production has struggled to keep up across the industry. And so it raises concerns of over-farming, early harvesting, not allowing your plants to reach their full maturity and then repollinate the area around it. So it's very important to us that we allow for the long-term sustainability of the agave plant. So we work with producers who do all kinds of interesting things with the plant. For example, our label itself is made out of agave fiber paper, which is really cool. So it uses the leaves of the agave plant, whereas mezcal just uses the heart. So this allows us to use really the entirety of the plan and put it to a good cause. And it's just a cool, it's got a cool tactile feel to it. In addition, one of our producers allows half of his agave plants to grow to full maturity. And these are the more rare agave types. For example, one of our plants takes 25, 30 years to grow, and it only grows in the wild. And by allowing half of them to grow to full maturity, he can't use those plants to make mezcal, but it does allow them to be repollinated by the local bat population. Bats have got a bad rap lately, but they're great for mezcal.
Yeah, they're great for mezcal. They're great for a lot of things, actually. We have, we're out in just outside of Nashville, and we're right by the lake, and mosquitoes are a big issue here. So we're actually looking at getting bat houses because they're supposed to be amazing at getting rid of mosquitoes. So I think great. Support the bats.
Yes, yes. We love the bats as well. So it's important to think about it. He's really allowing half the plants he could be using for his production today, he's putting into his family. Allowing for the future down the road, 30 years from now, it'll pay off.
That's incredible. And is it a similar path with tequila?
So tequila is actually a type of mezcal. So anything that's distilled from the agave plant goes under the category of mezcal. The difference is the species of agave that's used and the region. And in general, tequila is a much more industrialized process than mezcal is. In tequila, a lot of the time, you might see some additives or big industrial steel ovens. The Blue Weber agave, which is what's used for tequila, is also very easily farmed, which is part of what allows for there to be more mass market tequila products. Whereas mezcal, you do have some types that are easily farmed, such as the Espadin, but many are only harvested in the wild, or they take a much longer time to grow, and they tend to come from small rural villages and have really small authentic production processes. That's just really cool to see.
It's super interesting, right? Mm-hmm. And when you think about, I know you guys have a variety of different types of mezcal on your site. I understand tequila pretty well, because as you pointed out, I mean, I used to live in Los Angeles and tequila is a big deal there. And I know you've got, you know, the silver and then the Reposado and then Añejo. So are there similar tiers to mezcal as well?
So what you generally see in mezcal, so you have Blanco or Joven, which means unaged. Then you have Reposado, which means it is aged in a barrel for a couple months to a year. And then you have Añejo, which is over a year, and then Super Añejo, which would be a few years aging. So in mezcal, you do see some Reposado and Añejo, which adds some value to the product, especially in tequila. But it's much more common. What you look for in mezcal is the type of plant being used. So consumers take a lot of interest in the species of the plant. Let me say we have four different varieties of mezcal. People are like, oh my God, I love a Tobalá variety. And they know that that's a hard to find, type of mezcal. So there's some value in that. And there's a richness and adventure to it. And then you really got to pay attention to who the producer is and where it's coming from. And a lot of the value will come from the reputation of the specific producer himself.
Very interesting. I mean, I think it's really important. And I think it's definitely a trend that people are starting to finally understand. Knowing where you're getting your beverages, your food, all that sort of stuff is really important, right?
Yes.
So it's interesting to see you guys be so far ahead of that. And I mean, it's just to go back to the storytelling of everything, I think is incredible, because when you look at like the Instagram life, right? For the millennials, I mean, they don't want to go to the same beach, you know, like Padre Islands. It's like, that's not super interesting for people. What they're looking for is a unique custom experience that they're not going to share with 500 of their closest friends. So I think the whole process of Acre Baja and then extending it to Acre Mezcal is so interesting. And it's so smart in terms of the marketing. I mean, I know it comes from true passion, and you can absolutely tell that.
Oh, thank you.
And
to what you're saying, the transparency of the brand, it's super important to us for people to know where our mezcal comes from and the producers that make it, all the way down to on our labels on the back. It's all handwritten product information about the type of plant, the producer, the village, how many liters were produced, the way that the agave was ground down. So it's all very important for our consumers to know where our mezcal is coming from, you know, and that kind of goes back to the sustainability and ethical things that we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually ordered a few bottles a few days ago, so I'm excited to get it in my hand, just kind of feel the label. Something about that I think is very, very cool, especially when you talk about, you know, an experience, right? When you go to a resort, you understand, like you walk in, you're ready for an experience. You go to one of the restaurants on the properties, you know that that's going to hit every single one of your senses. But then to try to take that essence and put it into a mezcal, I think it's a branding challenge, right? And you know, you said one of the ways you guys have done that is to use the fiber of the agave, right, on the label.
Yep, absolutely.
Super cool. Now, when you think about translating that experience, that sensory experience into the digital world, right? Because we need to take this now from Mexico to the United States, which I know is one of the things that you've been tasked with getting it into this market.
Yes.
How do you, you know, if you put your marketing hat on for a second, how do you take such an intense experience and make sure that the essence of what you're communicating comes through digitally?
Yeah. So you're definitely right that it's certainly, it's a fun challenge to try and figure out how to communicate everything that this brand stands for digitally. And, you know, primarily, you know, Instagram life, that's certainly primary. Yeah. That's our main social media avenue.
Sure.
For sure. And, you know, we try and really focus on things maybe you can do in the home with the bottle. Where mm-hmm. you know, we have a great product that works well in cocktails, and we try and, you know, so maybe we're sharing recipes, and maybe it's the recipes that are coming from the resort or from a bartender partner who we think is really cool. So it's things that will connect people to what's actually going on in Mexico and on the site, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're fortunate to have really the most amazing setting in the world for content. So we're really able to leverage that and, you know, and share people enjoying the product and having genuine, amazing experiences down in Mexico or occasionally elsewhere, and try and have that come through, to our consumers.
And it is pretty interesting, right? Because you could, if and when you fall in love with Acre Mezcal, you can always take a trip down to Baja and experience the sort of roots of where everything came from, which is very interesting too.
Exactly.
And I did, you know, obviously as an influencer marketing specialist here, I took a look at your Instagram accounts for both Baja and Mezcal, and they look great. I mean,
you're
right. You guys are blessed with wonderful content.
And honestly, you're missing the best one, which is Acre Dogs.
Oh, that's right. How could I forget that? Yeah. Do you want to tell them about that? This is a really, again, this is another spot on millennial, like heartfelt thing, but it's also very, very cool. So you want to share a little bit about Acre Dogs?
It is the cutest account on Instagram. So Cameron's daughter, Rachel, has started a dog and animal rescue project down there. It's really so sad in a lot of ways, but also so amazing what they've done, where you find a lot of dogs in the town of Mexico who are not treated well. They might find litters of puppies in their doorstep or just on the road, and they've taken these dogs in. They take care of them, get them medical care, and they've found homes for I think over 200 now.
Wow.
Mostly in the US and Canada.
Good for you guys. That's incredible.
It's a really cool project, and more than anything, it's an amazing follow.
Yeah, absolutely. I will make sure I follow them immediately. I actually have a good girlfriend of mine just adopted a puppy from Mexico. So I wonder if it maybe actually came through.
It's possible. It could be an Acre dog.
Yeah, it could absolutely be an Acre dog. That's so cool. Well, you know, you mentioned Instagram as a platform that you guys have had a lot of success with. Is Instagram kind of the darling for you guys, or are you seeing other platforms perform really well?
So yeah, so Instagram is really where we found the most success so far. I think it's the visual nature of it mm-hmm. really does seem to be the best way to communicate the product. That's really what we focused on.
That makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, Instagram is the visual platform, right?
Exactly.
And I know we did a really cool event with you guys a few weeks back where we hosted it. We had a beautiful booze, hosted a cocktail hour where we made some interesting, delicious mezcal inspired drinks. Was that your first foray into influencer marketing?
So Natalie at the Beautiful Booze did an mm-hmm. amazingly cool few cocktails with us. It turned out excellent. We were super happy with it.
Yeah.
So we've had, she was our first real partnership in that, that sense that we've gone with. In a lot of ways, we've been able to kind of bank on it all comes back to the resort and the people coming in. So we've been able to bank on those kind of just organic, you never know who's going to pop in and, mm-hmm. and be fortunate enough to share some content with you.
Definitely.
But yeah, she's been she was an excellent partner, and we've done a couple other one-off things, but she was our first big one.
That's great. Well, we were glad we could support you for that one.
Thank you.
And I'm sure, you know, as things are sort of looking a little bit brighter here, you know, we can get more people in and down to Mexico. I mean, how have you guys, you know, for the Mezcal brand, it's one thing, but, you know, for the resort, it's a totally different, but how did 2020 really impact your business and what you guys were doing?
Yeah. So it impacted everything. So obviously, We started selling, really just myself, selling in California in mid-January mm-hmm. of 2020. So perfect. It was like, we're here, we're launching. I'm just kind of, I was really the only salesperson at the time. I was just getting my feet wet, learning the sales pitch and learning the ropes of how you want to get product out. And then, you know, boom, every restaurant shuts down. Mm-hmm. Basically across the country. You know, we really had to adjust on the fly to how we were going to do things with our plan really being what's called on-premise, which means basically restaurants and bars.
Gotcha.
And with those essentially off the table for the year, we had to shift our focus to be more digital, more e-commerce, come up with ways to connect with potential customers online.
Very cool. Yeah. I mean, that sounds like the plight of most businesses, but I know specifically that the restaurant businesses have been, you know, really impacted. That's a tough time to start the business. But I did read you guys have had a lot of success though. So that's gotta be promising. Even in a year that's a tough one, you guys have had good success.
Yeah. So we've gotten a lot of restaurant partners that we're really proud of. The e-commerce platform has been great. And really a huge help has been that we won, all of our products performed excellently at the San Francisco Spirit Awards this year, and especially our Cinizo varietal took home double gold, which is the highest award that they give out.
Wow. Congrats. So, that's huge.
Thank you. So to have that just a couple months into our launch was excellent.
Yeah.
And something that we're really proud of.
Marketing gold there for sure. Right.
Mm-hmm. and it all comes back to the producers that we work with and the amazing juice that they make.
It's fantastic. And you know, I noticed as well that you've got something going on. Is it Start Engine?
Yes. So yeah. we're currently going through a crowdfunding campaign on startengine.com. It's startengine.com/acre-mezcal. If you care to take a look, sure. I'm not legally allowed to comment on all the terms of the deal, sure. But you can certainly go on and do that. And basically what we're doing is we thought it would be a really cool way to raise money in a way that interacts with our potential customers. And mm-hmm. it's a way of coming in for a real, it's a real investment. It's not a Kickstarter campaign where you can invest in the company and also kind of feel like you're a part of it because you are.
That's super interesting. Yeah. I mean, but it ties really well back into the ability to experience everything, right? Even being an investor. So I think it's a smart move and probably a financially smart one as well, but it's interesting. I think people want to be, you know, especially when you look at the social platform and the way that, you know, all of these, I would call them news influencers are popping up and you can contribute to so-and-so's account if you want to, you know, support their business. Like I know personally, I subscribe to several blogs, right? That, yep. that you actually, I subscribe to and I pay for, and I love the thought pieces and the news that they get out. So people want to put their dollars to work for things that they believe in now more than ever. So I think it's a really interesting opportunity. I mean, as just an everyday citizen, I don't know that I get approached too many times to be able to participate in, you know, investing in a spirit company. I think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been super fun to be able to take it to friends and family who have always kind of said like, oh, you know, I'd love to be a part of this, you know, but you know, here's your way where for a relatively small dollar amount, you can have your piece of the liquor brand and genuinely say that you own it. And from our perspective, it's like we're getting paid in a sense to have 1,000 mm-hmm. new brand ambassadors.
Yeah, exactly. And the brand ambassadors are key, right? I imagine, you know, when you look at new spirits and the launch of new spirits, I'm sure there's a standard roadmap with the way that you do it. But I think that the digital components are going to be really, I think they're going to be very effective for brands across the board.
Yes, so absolutely.
Good for you guys. Yeah, that's super cool. Is there anything that, you know, thinking about where you were a few years ago to where you are now, I mean, what's something that has just completely blown your mind about Mezcal and that you just never in a million years would have thought about?
Yeah. So from coming from knowing virtually nothing about Mezcal, sure. I'll say it was genuinely a life-changing experience to be able to go to Oaxaca and to Durango and see these villages where they make it. I mean, this village in Oaxaca, Santa Ana del Rio, it's a 500 person Zapotec village that is, I mean, like in the middle of nowhere. It is a 3-hour drive outside the city down the bumpiest road you have ever been on with no cell reception for hours. You get there, it's like Spanish is most of these people's second language where it is. The indigenous language is their sure. first language. First. And they're all fourth generation Mezcal producers living. It's a very, very, very humble, kind of simple life, true artisans of what they do. It's the agave plant has been in their family lifeblood for a long time. And they're so welcoming and so excited to share their product. And just being able to go and experience that, which I think is a thing very few people actually get to do, was incredible.
Yeah, it sounds awesome. It sounds like a luxury retreat that someone would charge like an outrageous amount of money to go to.
I'll say there is nothing luxurious about going to these places.
It just sounds like something that you would, you know, yeah. that a marketing company would spin up to make it seem like a very luxurious thing. And then
yes,
it's really just
it is a full adventure.
Mm-hmm, a full on adventure, mm-hmm. exactly. Well, maybe that's the next the tourism spot, right? As you go check out where your spirits are grown and made and the whole entire process. So sounds like there might be maybe a retreat for you guys in the future to set up there.
I think for a couple small groups, we'll look into bringing them down.
Very cool. Well, what do you guys have planned for 2021?
Yeah, that's a great question. So alongside with the fundraise, fortunately this will give us a lot more budget to actually work with. So sure. this, it does mean more of a digital presence, more of maybe not that much more of the kind of influencer things that we're talking about.
Sure.
As the world opens back up and hopefully continues mm-hmm. to open back up, we're really going to be able to start that push into restaurants, bars, retail once again. So we brought on our first full-time salesperson actually just this last week who super excited about, and she's going to do amazing things for us. So we're really focusing on rolling out in Los Angeles and then in Vegas actually shortly thereafter and starting to saturate those markets. And that's where most of our focus is going to be. And it's going to come with a more refined marketing pitch. We brought on a full-time marketing team in mid 2020. And I know they're excited about having a little bit of a budget to fully work with now.
Sure.
So we're really looking for the whole package to kind of come together and start that growth trajectory.
That's exciting.
Yeah. In a lot of ways, 2020 was a testing year for us.
Sure. Yeah. Give you a little bit of a testing ground and then you can mm-hmm. launch in a bigger way. So that's exciting. I mean, the process I'm sure of getting into restaurants and bars is an all encompassing one.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, right? Because you think about all the different avenues and the different levers that you have to push, because if you could get enough people walking into bars asking for your mezcal, that's a pretty good way to sort of push the demand a little bit more.
Exactly. Right? And it is also on the brand ambassador note, when you can connect with a bartender and make them believe in your product.
Oh, absolutely.
Then they're the ones that will be out there pushing it to the end users who's coming up to the bar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, exactly. I mean, that's the Peloton model, right? Mm-hmm. Or the SoulCycle model, where every single instructor there ultimately became an influencer.
Yes.
And you would go to their classes, you would do their things, right? Because you were a follower of them. Absolutely. With the bartender. That's kind of an interesting model actually. So, Cool. Well, yeah, I mean, the digital side of things I think is important. It's obviously just as important as the in-person stuff. So I'll be excited to watch how you guys expand there.
Yes. Yes. Definitely. Definitely some new content coming.
Yeah. Super cool. Super cool. So, you know, thinking about influencers, one question I like to ask people is when you look at influencers, and this doesn't be digital, this can be in person, any sort of influencer, who's an influencer that has had, you know, a big impact on you or your career or your life, that you follow?
Yeah. Well, so someone I've been following lately that I found pretty inspiring. It's a guy named Jimmy Chin.
And
yeah. He's quite a follow. And I don't know if anyone hasn't seen the movie Free Solo, if you want to make your palms sweat for a couple hours, check it out. But he was the filmmaker behind that. He's a mountain sports athlete, traveler. I think it in a lot of ways captures exactly what we're going for.
Yeah. With that wild spirit, right?
Yes. With Acre Mezcal, with the wild spirit, with, you know, it all comes across as just kind of so authentic to who he is. And that's, it's like, this is who we're making this for.
Right. Absolutely.
It's the people.
That's super cool. Mm-hmm. And how did you guys think, you know, just thinking about this is who you're making it for. I think that remind me what the tagline is, but it's for a spirit as wild as you are.
Yes. So it's been, we're workshopping that a little bit right now, but it's been a spirit as wild and unique as you are.
That's right. Yeah. Interesting. Well, so your target is a younger adventurous.
I think it's a younger, you know, for anyone who doesn't fall within this target, it's, you know, it's still for you, but,
sure. It's for everyone. Yes.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, someone who enjoys new experiences, is interested in learning. You know, they think someone who might, you know, who does the sightseeing when they travel and is interested in learning new things from different cultures, and maybe not just sitting on a beach for their ideal vacation.
Absolutely. It sounds like Jordan, you need to host a masterclass on Mezcal.
I might. The thing is, I know enough about Mezcal to know that I am not an expert in it. I've gotten to spend some time with the people who truly are and can, you know, sure, can take one little sip and really it's like wine. They'll tell you exactly where it comes from. And then, you know, they can taste different things about the production method just from really from smelling it or a couple sips.
Isn't that incredible?
It's amazing.
I'm always blown away that people, do they have a specific name? These types of people?
I don't,
the same as in wine.
I'm trying to think I don't know if there's a name for an expert in like the tasting of mezcal. The mezcaleros are the people who make the mezcal.
Right.
And they're on a whole other level when you do this every day.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. When you live and breathe it. Well, you know what? We can have goals.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. It's a lot of work, but I'm up to the challenge.
I think I would join you in that. So
definitely a labor of love.
Absolutely. Well, hey, I appreciate you being on here. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I do have one more question. Just want to leave our audience with a little bit of advice from you. You know, when you think about Acre Mezcal, Acre Baja, and how you guys have really set the standard in the space on sustainability and brand storytelling, I think it's huge. What piece of advice would you give to our listeners who are building their careers or maybe starting out a business, you know, how they can set the standard in what they're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, maybe I can speak to the importance of it.
Sure.
A little bit. And I would say there, at least in my business, there are a lot of people, there are a lot of buyers who care very genuinely about what they're doing. And if we were BSing anything through the process, they would see through it, and it would really affect our business at the end of the day. And you know, just the confidence that I'm able to have to walk in there knowing that we have a product that does all these amazing things that kind of backs up what it says, it makes our lives so much easier going forward, and it's really worth it to put the effort into developing the product and doing all that the right way, and you'll be grateful for it every day after your business gets going.
I think that's super, super smart advice. And you're never going to regret building a quality product.
Exactly.
Right? Absolutely.
Quality matters.
That's, quality absolutely matters. And I appreciate the insight. And Jordan, it was great to have you. Thank you so much for coming on. And we will absolutely be following Acre's success in the Mezcal and in the resort.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye. I hope you enjoyed the conversation as much as I did. If you're interested in setting the standard in influencer marketing, please check out our website, www.sostandard.com, or give us a follow on Instagram and LinkedIn. Be sure to head over to the Social Standard YouTube channel to check out the video version of this show. If you're enjoying this podcast, please support us by subscribing, sharing, or leaving a review. We'll be right back.